But wait a minute. Tell me, can you tell me exactly what the tweet was?
It said Saints aren't looking for much in return for a trade for Pate.
Oh, that's just That is just stupid. You think Mickey Loomis would get rid of Peyton?
You'll regret this day, friend! I'm not your friend, buddy! I'm not your buddy, guy!
He's not your guy, friend!
I'm not your friend, buddy!
We're not your buddies, guy!
I'm not your guy, friend!
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk skill rating is a 0. Once again, I drank a little bit for the game, stopped drinking, and have lost my scale.
Ooh.
Yeah. All right, anyway, this is pretty much what I expected. When everything mattered, we couldn't get our shit together and play enough to win meaningfully. Then, once things stop mattering, the team goes ahead and grinds one out. Granted, it's against a weak opponent, but you know what I'm saying. Now, don't let this W fool you, though. The problems that the team had still exist, and were evident in various aspects of the game today, which we'll explore because we're still bitter, I think, and we may not allow ourselves to enjoy this win as much as we probably would have if it meant real playoff contention. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I am also 0... Gonna save myself for week 17 and just go full bore and try to get to like an 8 or a 9. So I'll give everybody warning right now that it's coming in a couple weeks.
All right, Damon, welcome to the show. How you feeling?
Thank you. I'm blah. I'm blah. Jeff, how are you?
Blah blah blah.
How you said? Yeah, look, the game. I'm thinking I said this last week.
The game will be discussed in game recap.
There's really no playoff implications with us. It was just you can sit down and watch it and not be as emotional about it, you know. Season's over. Season has been over for at least for a week or two, you know. So enjoying the game. It was nice to see them do some things. I love Michael Thomas, huh? And I mean, he's catching and he's blocking downfield. That's what I really like to see. That's a quality wide receiver.
Yeah, look, kid's good. I mean, we stole him.
And then Cooks, I guess, was being a businessman today.
Yeah, he was all business today. He's like he brought his Cooks boner to the office today. I mean, I completely outran Matthew on that.
That
short pass, just whoop, there he goes. So he now has touchdowns of, I thought it was like 40, 45, or maybe 47, 65, like an 87-yarder. And that 90 whatever yarder he had earlier, so 4 super long touchdown catches this year. So as much as everybody got mad at him for saying what he said, he's still incredibly talented, big playmaker.
Even though he didn't look like it last week.
No, even though he dropped an easy touchdown last week.
Right, you know. But yeah, I'm not sure what to say about the game. Again, it's so surprising. You know, Arizona statistically was the number one defense coming into this week. We put up 48 points. And
48. I mean, think about on the road.
Right.
I definitely didn't expect it.
No. I sure wish we'd have done that against Kansas City.
That would have been great.
That would have been so much more fun, you know, us being in that stadium. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and look, they needed to score all those 48 points because the defense just was nowhere to be found today.
Right, and Arizona's offense isn't that explosive. I mean,
David Johnson's a monster. He's, you know, he got his 100 yards.
Yeah,
he got the touchdown, but they held up in the end. You know, held on when they needed to.
They did well. Look, I mean, the defense showed up, and or the defense caused that turnover for our last touchdown. You know, so that was a plus to them. Now, on the same, on that ensuing drive, the roughing the passer was a bullshit call.
Yeah, we definitely got a gift there. That was bad.
Yeah, they got a gift. I mean, yeah, yes, we definitely did. You know, if you're an Arizona fan, you're rightfully pissed off tonight, you know.
Well, for that call, but there were a couple of other bad calls against the Saints earlier in the game.
Yeah, that touchdown that they...
I mean, I don't know that necessarily that was a touchdown, but there was another... There was like a holding call on us on offense, which killed the drive. It didn't really look like holding.
But again, I mean, I don't know how you change it. I don't know what you do, you know, but that's a tough time to call that particular penalty. Because the sack had taken us out of field goal range.
Yeah, all of a sudden the penalty's over. I'm like, shit, we're at the 10-yard line. Like, what the fuck? I didn't quite realize we were going to be that close.
So,
huge gift.
Yeah, huge gift. But anyway, look, they played well. Drew looked good today.
The line.
Ran the ball well today as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, Unger back. Amazing. What's your difference he makes?
What about the defense game? Ingram tantrum at the end of the game when that touchdown? Some people say that it's because he was going to get a $100,000 bonus if he gets another touchdown, but then the others say that's not in his contract.
No, there was no bonus. He probably just wanted a touchdown. You know, he had ran well all game, and then they get to the goal line, and they take him out for Hightower.
Right, and he had made, you know, some good runs on that drive.
And then, look, this is Hightower's revenge game. Everybody, you know, Sean Payton's big on revenge games, okay? So,
well,
this was Hightower's revenge game.
Right.
And then I know you kind of teased on it a little bit in the beginning, Damon, whether it makes the show or not, and you texted on it. But yeah, about the whole idea of, like, when are we going to be able to put multiple phases of the game together?
It's been a while.
And it'll be a while.
Yeah, I mean, again, special teams was meh. If he at best gave up a couple of big returns. At least Lutz has looked good.
Yeah, made six in a row.
He made all his kicks, so at least we're kind of shoring it up there.
Do you think that is that a result from
the new guy? Special,
yeah.
Well, he hasn't missed one, I think, ever since that guy came on.
Exactly.
So, yeah, you have to look at that.
You know, is he some kind of kicking guru? Wish we would have brought Morton in to help him.
Yeah, but he's left-footed. It wouldn't work. He needed a left-footed kicker. People were, you know, Breeze, two straight games without a touchdown, and he had throws for 380-something and four today. I mean, it's just a shame they can't. You know, I mean, it's hard to do that every week. But, you know, again, it seems like the team is close. They just can't. For some reason, they just can't put it all together. It's been for a couple of years now, so let's have to see what happens next year.
You know, no, that's why everybody. I mean, you know, they said that next year is the we're going to have some of these guys that are, you know, obviously a 1 year more mature in their career, and we have said $25 million in cap space, so. Hopefully we can fill, like we talked about last week, you know, the holes on the offensive line, you know. And goodness forbid we get a little break in luck, you know. I mean, a little luck in the breaks, the injuries.
There's a lot of things, right. We could point to a lot of things for a long time. And I think maybe the real issue is we never should have had the expectations that we've had for the last 2 or 3 years.
Couple years. Probably.
We feel like we're falling short of expectation, when in reality, this is what happens to teams that go through what we've been through the last 5 years.
Well, yeah, with the cap, I mean...
The money, but again, we talk about this all the time. The money may not have... Like, Mickey Loomis might not have done what he did had it not been for the suspensions and the loss of draft picks, or even the missed... The whiffs on so many drafts, right? The poor talent evaluation that they didn't do anything about soon enough. It's like everything, it's like a falling dominoes. Everything affected everything. And then injuries on top of that.
Yeah, I mean, and you had the benefit of a great quarterback that kept your expectations high.
Right.
And
higher than they should have
been. He made us look better than what we really were.
Like Marino.
Like someone said, you know, we have been in a rebuilding mode for the last several years, but they never, you know, the organization never came out and said it that way.
No, you can't. That's not how you sell tickets.
Right. Well, no, you're right. You're right. You know, you don't sell tickets that way, but...
I mean, we all know where this team stands right now. Win or loss today, it wouldn't have changed anything.
Right.
Other than our correct. Now our draft pick will be
our draft worse. Pick. Correct. Right. Thank you.
All right. Well, and we're clearly not talking about game recap, and we do have some tweets that will still talk about the game. So let's move into looking at tweets. Okay, so this one comes from Wheels. This was earlier in the game when he said, "Does McMahon also coach the Cardinals special teams? Because they missed field goal and extra point, right?" Thank God.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. Both no special teams did anything necessarily great. I mean, Tampa may have had a couple of decent returns, but that's just because our coverage team sucks.
Right.
So. Yeah, at least special teams didn't cost us the game today.
Always nice when, you know, one third of the team, right, that you put on the field, you know, isn't costing you points. That's a lot. That's awesome.
Yeah, right.
All right. Next tweet comes in from Wheels. So now that we're basically eliminated, we'll play really well so that we miss the playoffs and get a middling draft pick.
I think I text y'all that last week.
As is, of course, right. The tradition.
Oh, right. And then he followed that up with another tweet. .. again.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Look, we're headed to 7-9 in the 15th pick.
Right.
That's what we're headed to.
Or maybe 8. Or worse would be we're headed to 8-8. We're headed to 8-8. We beat Tampa next week. Give Atlanta the division. You know.
Still probably pick around 15 or 16, because there's a lot of good teams in the AFC with winning records that'll finish better than us no matter what. So we'll probably be anywhere between 10 and 15 is where we're going to be.
I mean, it is what it is, you know. Despite what we said last week, I mean, the coaches and players don't really give up.
And, I mean, as much as it obviously losing helps us with the draft, it's like you don't want a losing culture in your building. Like, winning is still good, even though
– right.
Technically, it doesn't matter. You know, right. It kind of does matter a little bit.
Right. Maybe, you know, right. Maybe a free agent doesn't understand what's going on. And if you're 5-11 or 8-8, he might, you know, I don't know. I'm just guessing. Maybe he wants to get to that 8-8 team who thinks that they're on the cusp, you know. But
yeah, it could definitely play a factor. Plus, if you lose out, you know, maybe guys are kind of pissed off in the locker room. Like, you don't want any of that.
Yeah.
All right. It's always guys are always happier when they win.
Sure. No one's giving up. And again, I mean, Kenny Vaccaro did the right thing to take his suspension this year and just go ahead and get it over with. So it's in our rearview mirror.
Yeah, I agree.
Life of Ty comes in with goodbye Ingram, hello McCaffrey. In the second round,
I wouldn't be opposed if he lasts in the second round.
Yeah, that's kind of optimistic, isn't it?
I mean, that's the kind of guy like the Patriots would snag with the 31st or 32nd pick, a guy like that. I mean, if he falls,
don't they
short,
have enough running backs?
Well, look, I'm almost, you know, when the Saints, currently the Saints were, before today, they were projected 8th.
Oh, really? Wow.
Well, yeah, before today. Let's say we lose out, finish 6-10 and pick 8th or 9th, and for some crazy reason, Fournette is there. I mean, do you take him? I mean, I think you kind of have to, right?
I don't think this. I mean, we have never. I don't. You know,
running back's not a need position. I agree with that.
But I don't know.
But if he is as talented as we think he is, you know, you could kind of slowly transition the team in the last, you know, Breeze, we have him for one more year. You could transfer, and if you get a guy like that getting the ball in the backfield, like, and take the pressure off of him, I mean, you could extend his career by a couple of years, change the dynamic of your team, like Elway's last couple of years when they just gave it to Terrell Davis. And I know there are holes in this team elsewhere that need attention, but man, he'd be tough to pass up if that situation presented itself.
What you do, you go out there in free agency and try to fill all the holes you can. And then, so when the draft comes around, you kind of know where you weren't able to get it in free agency. Fournette is, do you think he's going to be a superstar? I mean, do you, you know.
I think he's a special player.
You think he's a special player? That's okay.
I think he's a special player.
Ezekiel Elliott on the Saints team would not be what he's doing in Dallas.
No, I agree. Okay. I agree.
You think Ezekiel Elliott is a special player?
Not in the, well, not, he's pretty damn good.
You know, not in the same vein as Fournette, you believe? I mean, I'm just asking.
No, I would put Fournette above Elliott.
Okay, and maybe.
Even what Elliott has accomplished this year, sure.
Sure, and look, Elliott benefits, and so does Prescott, from what a lot of people consider the best line in the NFL, you know. Dallas has done it right. That's the same thing they did back in the 90s.
If the Saints were to, if Fournette were there and they took him, you know, whether through free agency or the draft, they would have, and they have to do it anyway, but the offensive line would need to be a lot better.
Sure.
Because we saw it, you know, Fournette's special, but going up, you know, when LSU went up against Bama.
Exactly.
I mean, I get it. That's a different kind of animal. You know, I mean, their team is just, although their team's loaded with NFL talent, Fournette would be going up against NFL talent every week.
Right.
But they would definitely have to fortify that and get better to help him out. And to, you know, keep Breeze on his upright, the pocket. But it would just be interesting if, you know, initially running back's not a need, but man, if he were to fall, it would be hard for me to pass him up.
Next week comes from a new Twitterer. This one comes from James Benoit. The ghost of Christmas past has visited some, but the ghost of sucking ass has finally left Breeze after a 2-week stay. And yeah, man, like, we were wondering, I mean, granted it was the offensive line, as Jason pointed out last week, that was hurting Breeze and why he hadn't thrown a touchdown pass, instead has thrown 3 interceptions in the last 2 games, but he did come back against Arizona with a furious, 4 touchdown game, 389 yards. Now that's the Drew Brees where.
Right. Look, any quarterback looks like shit if you're hitting him and he has no time. I mean,
that's our strategy, Manning, when we used to go up against the greats too.
Right. Peyton Manning, Joe Montana. I mean, that's just, you know, kind of self-explanatory. You protect him, the man's going to eat you up. And that's what we saw today.
You seem comfortable. They were in good flow, throwing the ball and running the ball well. You know, they were in good rhythm today. That's right. The offense we've been seeing for a decade. We used to see it.
In a way, this one, the offense had to cover, and they did cover.
Yeah, they did. And after the 2 weeks, people were like, oh, maybe Breeze is
done.
He's getting too old. Breeze is fine.
Those are the people that need to stop. Or who? Actually, it was Channel 4 WWL in New Orleans, I think. One of the sports guys tweeted last week, said that the overnight, as he was coming in the morning, the overnight guy asked him about Breeze being washed up or something because of the whatever. And he tweeted it as to say, like, this guy's fucking stupid. Like, how can a sports guy, a local sports guy, even go there with Breeze being washed up?
Because it's a narrative he can push, whether it's true or not, he pushes it. That's what these guys.
Yes, you're right. Okay. All right, we're gonna go straight into pick'ems because we do have some post game or post show Star Wars talk. We all 3 saw the movie.
Woo!
Forgot to mention that at the top of the show, but we will be talking about the Rogue One Awakens after the end credits. So let's get into pick'ems and we'll run through this. We're about halfway through the show right now, I think.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop.
All right, well, Pick'ems, Jeff, you had a pretty damn good week. You went 4-1.
Boom!
Last
week. You mean I went 4-1?
Your loss was when we all lost, Houston at Jacksonville. Houston did win, but only by a point. And then Jacksonville fired their coach after the game, and then he still was on the team flight back to Jacksonville.
At least they gave him a ride.
Yeah, right.
Right, right. It Lane
it ain't like.
Yeah, right. They fired him and said, "Oh, you find your own way home."
So I went 2-3. Oh, it wasn't that good. I was the only. Oh, damn it! You took Tennessee too. Yeah, New England, Tennessee, and then Damon only went 1-4. His only win is beloved New England Patriots.
All right, and in the larger league, it's still near sitting on top of Hoare Islander, then Doug, Saints Fan UK, Dad to Twins, Jason, Jimbo, Rance, Life of Ty, Wheels, Neil, Glenn Fitz, Emmanuel, me, Hootat Nutsack, Damon, Hungry Hootat, Alex Barbie, Ed Hunt.
We have two regular season and then 4 weeks of playoffs count the Super Bowl.
Right. All right, let's roll.
All right, first game, Miami Dolphins at the Buffalo Bills. Nice AFC East tilt. Miami coming off a win today. Matt Moore subbing in for Tannehill, who got hurt last week. Wasn't an ACL tear, but it's a pretty severe knee injury. But Matt Moore was quarterbacking today for Miami. Throws 4 touchdowns. So they get a nice win. It was actually Saturday night against the Jets.
I knew I watched the game, and I didn't.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, okay. All right. Just caught it because I was looking for it in the score. It's like, oh, yeah, they played yesterday. That's right. Against Buffalo, Buffalo got a win today. No, it was against the lowly Browns, who are now 0-14. Only 2 weeks left for the Browns.
Come on, Browns.
Yep. This game's in Buffalo, and the Bills are favored by 3.5, and word is leaking that the Bills aren't going to keep Rex Ryan after the season. I don't think he's been fired today, but...
Well, he'll want to go out on a high note. I'll take Buffalo, just because you don't know the quarterback situation in Miami.
I'm going to take Miami because I think Matt Moore is not that bad, and Miami's currently got the sixth seed for the wild card. I'm going to go with the Dolphins. They're playing well.
I'm with Jason. I'm going to go with the Dolphins on this one.
Is that because you walked through a fountain in Miami one time?
Yeah, I have an affinity to the Miami Dolphins. I swam with the Dolphins.
All right, our next game. Indianapolis at Oakland. The Colts had a really, really big win today. 34-6 against the Vikings. At Oakland, who clinched their... Today, with their win, they clinched their first playoff berth since 2002.
Isn't that when they
went to the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The Buccaneers, yep.
Yep. No Super Bowl. So this game's in Oakland, and the Raiders are favored by 4.5.
Remember that?
I'll take the Raiders.
I'm also going to take Oakland.
Over Indianapolis?
In Oakland also.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to switch my pick and go Indy.
On what grounds?
The way they look today against the really good Vikings defense. On the road.
A Vikings team that, after going 5-0, has gone 2-7. That really good defense. Okay.
The defense is still good. The offense has been shit. Although Peterson came back today, so yeah, I'm going with the Colts.
I'm going to take the points with the Colts too. Andrew Luck's playing, ain't he?
Yeah.
All right.
They have a chance. I figure it's a 3-point game.
So is this the first time Damon has not picked the Colts ever in Pick'ems?
No, I'm sure I'm not picking.
I'm sure he's going to get.
All right,
our next game. Check the game pick. I mentioned earlier. AFC North on the line. Baltimore Ravens at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Baltimore coming off a 1-point win today against the Eagles after the Eagles score late in the game and then go for 2 to try to get the win at the end and fail to convert. So the Eagles lost by a point to the Ravens. Instead of going for the extra point, they went for
the division.
Didn't get it. Yeah, at Pittsburgh, who beat the Bengals on the road today in Cincinnati 24-10. Le'Veon Bell didn't go nuts like he went last week, but they still did enough. This game's in Pittsburgh. Yeah, they were down and came back. This game's in Pittsburgh. Steelers are favored by 6.
Oh, wow. I'm going to go first. I'm going to take Baltimore, mainly because these two teams, like we said, they're playing for the division. They're division rivals. It's going to be a close game, so I'm taking points. Period. If it was 3, I'd be taking points in either direction.
You know what? I'm not scared of the points. Give me Pittsburgh.
There you go.
They're rolling.
I'll go with Jeff here. I'll take the points.
Speaking of taking points, our next game, Denver Broncos, coming off a loss to the Patriots today, 16-3. Played well for a while, just couldn't get any offense going. At the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh.
yeah, who lost today to Tennessee. I know for a while today I thought I was the only one that took Tennessee last week in pick'ems, but then I saw you took them too. I was like, ah, oh, fuck you, guy.
Damon did, right?
Oh, no.
No,
I took them.
Yeah, you took. So Kansas City was up to a quick start, quick lead, but Tennessee found a way, came back and won. But anyway, a division game. So now that Oakland won today, Oakland's currently in first place in the division. KC now at first wild card slot. But it's an Arrowhead, and they're favored by 6.
Okay. So Denver's defense with a shitty offense. Kansas City, decent team all around. Favored by 6 at home. Man.
Against
the division rival. It's like they set the spreads to make it a hard decision.
Right. Well, yes, I mean, by what you said in your last pick,
Baltimore and Pittsburgh are different. I mean, I feel like you're right.
How are they different?
Because those two teams are not these two teams. I don't know. And that brought you by John Madden. Stating the obvious since 1988.
Right. I mean, I guess the only difference is that the Ravens are playing for something where Denver
is not, right?
Well, right. No, Denver's still...
I mean, they're in the playoff hunt, but the Ravens are playing for division.
Well, and I was thinking of it, too, like Pittsburgh and Baltimore, they're not known for being putting a lot of points on the board all the time, especially against, you know what I mean? But
well, neither is Denver,
right?
In case you haven't seen.
Right.
I'll go first. I'm taking the Chiefs, even though Denver's still
you're giving
in
up 6 points.
Yeah, I'm giving up 6. That's what I mean.
You know what? I'm going to do that also. That way, I'm taking the points on one of them, and I'm giving the points on the other one. It's Kansas City at home, playing. You know what are they looking for? The playoff berth.
Well, yeah, I mean, currently, if the season ended today, yeah, they'd be the first wild card.
Right, so...
Yeah, I mean...
But, I mean, look, it's Denver's
gonna be,
still 8-6.
It's
going to
be
Denver,
wild.
Denver
yeah, but it's
going to
be wild
just
there.
6.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've been trying to go against y'all, but I got to take Kansas City here. I mean, you know, poor Denver, God bless them. If they got a quarterback next year, they'd be dangerous.
Well, Tony Romo, good to go there.
Yeah.
All right, and now our shitty game of the week.
Christmas poo, small and brown, he comes from you.
Sit on the toilet, here he comes.
Squeeze in tween your festive buns. A present from down below, spreading joy with a howdy ho. He's seen the love inside of you, cause he's a piece of poo.
The good news is, I mean, this, it just keeps getting, like, I can actually find shitty games as we get towards the end of the year.
The bad news is, the Saints are in it.
We're heading to the NFC West, which actually the Saints swept this year.
Yeah.
Saints went 4-0 against the NFC West this year.
It's the last time something like that happened. It was 4-0 against any division.
2009 probably, right? So we have the San Francisco 49ers who have lost 13 games in a row. They're 1-13. They won the first game of the season, have lost their next 13 at the LA Rams, who lost big on Thursday night to the Seahawks. Jared Goff in the concussion protocols. We don't know what's going to happen with him. Jeff Fisher was fired. So just the team in disarray. This game is in Los Angeles, and the Rams are somehow favored by 3 points.
Wow, this is the toughest game I've ever heard of.
I mean, this is an all timer.
Let me ask you this: how? All right, San Francisco 1-13, but are they a decent 1-13? Like they just happen to fall short?
No, they are a dumpster fire shit show.
But so is the Rams. Well, the Rams are not necessarily.
They're the Rams. The 49ers probably are about to fire their coach. The Rams already have fired their coach.
No, they said that Kelly's safe.
Oh, my God.
I hate to do this because I hate San Francisco. We've talked about it before. They're my second hated team behind Atlanta. And what you said, 12 games in a row they've lost. It just gives me such pleasure to watch their shitty fan base And that empty, I don't know if you'll look at Twitter, that empty Levi Stadium or whatever the fuck they call that piece of shit.
That brand new stadium?
You know.
The brand new.
They showed pictures empty.
So hold on. This is a city that built a brand new stadium, right?
Right.
Against a city that they moved the team over there. And both of them have mounted four total wins this year. And ain't nobody going to their games.
Right.
Well, but it's smart decision making.
So nice to watch San Francisco and their fans just suck it.
Yeah.
The only thing I can go with, you're right, the two shitty teams, the Rams. I'll go with San Francisco just to get points.
I'm going to go with San Francisco simply because, I mean, today L.A. couldn't even get a touchdown. They didn't respond to the firing. Like, sometimes when you fire a coach.
Thursday?
Thursday, whatever. Sometimes when you fire a coach, the interim kind of sparks a little something, a little fire to where they play a little, you know, something here and there. Nope.
They were also going against Seattle in Seattle.
They
on a short week on a Thursday night. That's tough.
Short, yeah.
I don't know. I'm going with the Rams.
Okay.
San Francisco.
You know, it doesn't matter who you pick. We're all losers in this one.
If you watch this game, you are a loser.
Right. And that's going to bring us into Saints preview.
Well, it's Christmas time in Tinseltown again.
Seems just like last week we played Tampa Bay, doesn't it? And now we'll be playing them on Christmas Eve at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So, any Christmas parties? Cancel them!
Yeah, I mean, so fucking stupid for them to flex this game. Just an inconvenience for everybody. Like you said, Christmas, you know.
It doesn't benefit anybody.
Right. Bad enough it's on Christmas Eve. No.
At least it would have been early on Christmas Eve and you can go to your evening
parties. No, exactly. That's
the way it should be.
It's all a conspiracy.
But look, if you look at all the late games on Christmas Eve, Indy at Oakland, that's on the West Coast, so it's earlier. Arizona at Seattle, that's on the West Coast, so it's earlier. At Los Angeles on the West Coast, so it's earlier. And then us. Like, we're the only team central or east of us that's playing a late game on Christmas Eve. It's so stupid.
Right. And with Tampa, who should be playing the early, you know, because they're on
right.
the East Coast. They want the early game.
They flexed us clearly because that was the one game that they felt like people might watch. Well, because last week, it's Drew Brees against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers who have playoff aspirations.
Right. Right.
You could also subscribe to the fact that the theory that they did it because they said fuck the Saints.
No, obviously they moved it because Tampa has this has big playoff implications. You know, if Tampa needs to win to continue keeping pace with Shitlanta.
Yeah, I mean this could be a big game for Tampa now. So the question is, what do we do about this? I mean, if the Saints are going to play spoiler.
Yeah, that's what they want to do.
How are we going to do this?
Play better than we did last week?
well, you got Unger.
That's number one. That's number one.
Step one, you got Unger back.
Yeah.
Right.
So we're already a little bit of a different team.
Right, you got Unger and Michael Thomas back. That's going to help.
Yeah, well, and we got Craig Robertson back today, too, although it didn't necessarily look like it helped today, but getting him back is good.
Every time you say Craig Robertson, I think of Craig Robinson from The Office.
You're playing his piano.
Hot time machine.
Again, look, all right, we held him to 16 points last week.
Yeah.
Right. Right. I mean, if the defense can do the same thing, and we can just put up,
30.
Three touchdowns.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, this fine.
We could. I mean, we could beat them. I mean.
Oh, no. This Saints team is capable of beating anybody in the NFL.
If they show right, if they show up and play the way they
should
play. I mean, let me ask you this: what ranking offense was the Cardinals that we played against today? I mean, not offense, defense.
Defense number one.
Number one statistically, they were number one.
Number one, dude. We put 48 points on them.
Right. Yeah. On their field.
And Tampa is ranked number 22.
Right. And we couldn't score more than 11.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, explain right. that to
me. Unger.
Explain that to me.
Unger.
It would seem to be Unger and Thomas. And Thomas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Thomas.
Thomas yeah. is good. Thomas is good. You have to have all hands on deck. Because, again, what we don't realize, and kind of what Cook said, 2 weeks ago, whatever, we don't realize what the Saints are doing, and most fans don't. 98%, 99% don't realize what a team is trying to do when they send out receivers, how they're trying to make the defense react to running one guy over here, and bringing someone open. So you do need all hands on deck.
Yeah, you draw coverage, you pull people in one direction to open something up, sure.
So here's a big question. How many people will be in the dome?
12.
12 people. That's it. Damon being one of them.
Right. Yeah. Oh, you counting players, you counting players, too?
Waving his little Saints flag.
Right. Well, what have y'all decided, Jason? Are y'all going or not?
As of now, I don't think so. Because really? we got two families to hit on Christmas Eve,
right?
Mine and hers, and it's just going to be
giving up on the Saints.
Wow,
that's about right, though.
People who sit up there in that second, that's how they do it.
Oh my God, shut the fuck up!
They don't, that's what they think. Thank
right,
you.
Right, exactly. That's it.
Oh, they're actually for this one, I should laugh.
They sit here, here's the same guy when a grandfather and his tiny grandson were leaving a game in the fourth quarter. Jason's
listen
all
to the narrative.
But at least the grandfather and grandson showed up. Jason just doesn't even show up. He, Saints aren't, Jason's a bandwagon fan. Saints aren't winning.
Oh my God. Boom, right.
He's off the bandwagon. Okay. He doesn't invest much into them. He paid $1 a ticket or 50 cents.
He didn't. He gave up on them early in the season when we were all playing 10 and 6. He was against it.
That's right. I was like, 6 and 10. I was like, 6 and 10 the whole time.
Exactly. I mean, he's not a long time true fan,
Right.
As most people who sit way up there, and don't really invest in it. He has no investment in it.
And there goes half our listenership.
Hey, look. If you look at the percentage of seats filled in each section, the terrorist will have the highest percentage of seats sold. I bet the middle section. All the rich people are not going to fucking go. Guaranteed.
Well, we know you're not going, Jason. That's what we know. We know you're not going. I'll be there. We know you're not going.
Question is, how many Tampa fans are there going to be there? I don't think you're going to have a lot.
How many Tampa fans are there? I mean, really,
12. That's who I was talking about being there. What? All right, score prediction, Jason.
I'll go with 34-27 Saints.
All right.
We're marching towards 7-9.
I think the Saints, motherfucker.
Yeah.
I say the Saints will... For 1 week, and 1 week only, they will put both sides together. They'll keep Tampa Bay to under 20. It will be 17-38.
Ooh, shit. Mm.
You know what's going to piss me off? We're gonna play great these last two games of the year, and we're going to finish 3-0.
That's what we did last year.
It's going to feel good, too. I mean, at the end of the day, it feels good to have a win this week, and, I'd love to walk into Christmas with a win, and I'd love to beat Atlanta at the end of the year. So I'm with Damon. We're going to put it together. I don't think the defense plays as good because Vaccaro's not there. So I'm going to say...
He wasn't there last week either.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, but no. All right.
No, what's going to happen? We're going to beat Tampa because they're...
Yeah, we're going to beat
And partly score. They'll be... Partly they'll be emotionally drained from this loss tonight against Dallas, and then Atlanta will have nothing to play for, and they'll sit their players the last game of the year.
Well, the last game of the circus tent.
Yeah,
there you
go. That'll be nice. At least we'll get the final victory. The last,
Okay. So I'm gonna say 34 21. Whatever. It's not like we ever go back and like award money for being right or wrong.
Yeah, or even see. Yeah, I have no. The following week, I have no idea what we did.
Right. I think it's more to see like are we doing
anything pretty close or even not? What I said. Right.
The only time we were right was when I think we predicted that Lutz would miss an extra point, right?
Right.
Okay, you want to forego final thoughts so that we...
Yep.
All of our final thoughts is going to be Star Wars Rogue One.
Sure do.
Right.
So here's what we're going to do if you're listening. We're going to close the show right now and then stick around after the music is going to fade out, and then we're going to do our analysis, our talk, Star Wars recap. We all saw Rogue One. We want to talk about it. So, spoiler alert, if you stick around, then we're going to assume you've seen the movie and you want to hear what we got to say about it. But for now, that's all the football part of the show we have for you. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
Dadcom.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, NFC West donkeys. You fucking suck.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
I'm going to start us off by saying this was the best Star Wars movie outside of the Skywalker saga.
It was the only... Okay.
No, I like this better than Force Awakens. I liked it better than Episodes 1, 2, and 3. I liked it better than... It's hard to say anything about 4, 5, and 6 because that's a whole different feeling.
Right.
You know? You can't really measure them up. But as far as since they came back with Star Wars, with Episode 1, this is the best of those... What, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
And I 100% agree. Right, right. But outside of the original trilogy,
right,
this has been the best one.
And I wasn't looking forward to it because it was outside of the main Skywalker family.
Right.
Because I was kind of like, But wow, I was wrong.
It was great, and it provides a lot more. You know, just you get a lot more information that honestly I think helps or further it almost improves.
Yeah.
A New Hope a little bit.
Sure.
Well, sure. It opens, it opens up the Star Wars universe from what we've been, had previously. Like you said, they've kept it within the, Skywalker, line.
It stayed true to... the main storyline, right? The Death Star, Vader, what was
right.
going
I mean,
on,
it's,
the
it's,
rebellion,
the Empire. It's a war. It was a war movie. It's a war.
I definitely want to get to the last sequence, Act 3.
Well, I mean, we're going to get to...
Amazing, yeah. But, so go in, I don't know how you want to go into it, but you want to go chronological? You want to just kind of say...
Well, I guess
chronological. So I did watch it in one of those Dolby theaters at the Palace.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time I watched it in that theater. The nice reclining seats, a lot of space. The nice vibrating seat.
I loved the way you thought it was going to open with the scroll.
Because it did start with a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah. And then when it didn't happen, I was like, oh, what?
It was just boom, planet, space.
Mm-hmm.
Get after it.
Good little opening. And then I forgot. I thought it was open and we were moving on. And then when he says, we've got a long journey ahead of us, and then boom, now we got the Star Wars.
Right now, Rogue One. Yeah, no, they did a good job, going outside of the normal.
Right. Well, this is a different, like we said, it's not in the, not timeline, but whatever, the main arc of the story.
Right.
So, yeah, I liked it. I thought it was that kind of separates it and I'm sure they'll do that with all the other one shots from that.
Exactly. Star Wars, the official, the main is your Avengers, right? And now you've got your individual stories.
Exactly. But all right, so they start again. I don't know if you said you want to go chronologically. I don't know, but I remember the thing that well, but look, the visuals for me, I think were the best of any Star Wars.
I was glad they didn't do the wipes the way that they did on scene transitions, like, you know.
Right.
I know Renee mentioned that as we were watching, because on the weekend TNT was running all the movies, so I watched A New Hope the other day. Well, I had it on Blu-ray, so I watched A New Hope the other day, but then over the weekend, like, all the movies were on, so I caught bits and pieces of a bunch of the movies on TNT over the weekend.
Mm-hmm. And it felt like it started slow, but looking back, maybe it didn't. Mainly because, you know, they had to introduce us to everybody. We didn't know anybody, you know, so.
All right, started slow. I thought it actually was a little too quick in the beginning. Just
jumping from planet to moon, that was fast. Yeah, I was like, where are we?
It's like, whoa, exactly. I'm watching, this moon, or that. You know, again, it was fine, but it was, I was scared. I said, man, they're jumping around quick. But like you said, they had to get us up to speed quick, and, you know.
Right.
And they had to introduce us to all these new characters.
Yep.
Sure.
And they did a good job of it, because by the end, you cared about them.
Absolutely.
You cared about every one of them. And I love the new droid.
He was a strategic droid
who said what was on his mind. Right. A couple of good comments. I mean, there was a few laugh out loud moments.
Good voice work by Alan Tudyk.
Holy mackerel.
He's one of those sexual assistance droids.
But good stuff there. The Jedi. Well, I guess he wasn't a Jedi. Was he a Jedi?
No, he's not a Jedi. And it was a cool way that they showed the Force without having any Jedi in the movie, other than, I guess, technically Vader.
Yeah.
You know, so you got to see the Force through non-Force powerful people. It was an interesting way to present it. It was a good way to present it, you know, because people still believe in the Force. Just because they can't wield it doesn't mean they don't believe in it.
Well, and that, so I was reading something about how Disney decided to kind of break away from a lot of the previous canon stuff and say we're rewriting the canon. But in a sense, they said also that they would also honor that by, you know, referring to those as the myths. And it reminded me in Force Awakens when Han Solo, when they were talking about the myths and all that, and he's like, they're all true. So they respected all the previous stuff, but they also have to rewrite some canon in order to create their universe.
The canon that they erased and now they call legends are the books.
Okay.
Anything previous to when Disney bought them in 2012, the books that came out last year, 2015, and going forward will be canon. Any book written before that, except, of course, the first six movies.
That was part of the article. You're right.
Right. The first six movies are obviously canon. I mean, they have to be. I mean, you know, the first six movies are canon. And all subsequent movies will be canon, but it's the books that they,
okay,
right, that they call now, they call it legends, you know. So,
but that was cool.
But you're right. But that's what this movie, you know, all these little Easter eggs, I guess you'd call them. I'm not sure, you know, when they're in Yedda. And they're walking through, you know, the kind of reminds you of Mos Eisley's, and they're walking through these crowded streets, and they bump into Buttface and
the walrus,
right?
Yeah, you know? I noticed. I mean, those two guys,
right? How cool was that? I mean, that, you know, and I guess you know, at least for a fan like me, you know, and y'all too, you know, the originals. I mean, they did so much of that was just, I liked. Some people, you know, maybe it's cheesy, maybe it's too much, but I just thought, you know, just little throwbacks, little tip of the hats.
Sure.
Even had, for a small scene, they showed when they were going through the Rebel base at some point, which I did like that, like the styles of all the clothing and the helmets looked exactly like it did in A New Hope.
Is it had to, because it was literally a couple days
right before it. Right.
Right. And that I didn't realize going in. But
no, me neither. That was a surprise.
That was the best surprise of all. Yeah.
But right, talking about your Easter eggs, they even showed for a small second a droid Chopper from who is currently in Star Wars Rebels. The droid from Star Wars Rebels was actually in a small quick.
And it was him. It wasn't just the same droid.
No. It was the same color as Chopper, the droid from Star Wars Rebels.
The wink.
So.
Yeah.
Well, Star Wars Rebels, it's supposed to be canon.
Yeah, supposedly they're bringing in later this season the character played by it was in the movie, the old guy with the little oxygen mask, Forrest Whitaker, the character he played.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
His character was in the Clone Wars, and they're going to be bringing him in Star Wars Rebels also.
Right. I like that. But again, I mean, so much of the movie, get the little throwbacks, you love seeing. And you're right. It felt, whereas watching the Force Awakens, you know, and they updated, obviously, that like we, you know, everything has in life, or true, you know, in 20 years, uniforms changes. But to see, you know, the old stormtroopers.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just as incompetent as ever, you know.
Right? Actually, I took my kids, and one of them leans over to me at one point. He was like, "The stormtroopers, they can't hit anybody, can they?" Right. Like, they recognized it even. It was great.
Right. They really needed. I don't know. They need to do something with that.
They did have some of the death troopers. I guess those are the real top notch. Good.
But even they couldn't hit anything. You know, that started to get a little annoying to me, you know.
Yeah. Now, the fight when the blind guy did first fight, he was surrounded in a circle by all the stormtroopers. What a fucking awesome scene that was. How he just took down all the stormtroopers. And then when he was just about to be, you know, overtaken or whatever, his buddy, that dude's fucking badass. That I don't even know who he is, but he was badass with his little tank and his gun. I'm sitting here thinking that's gonna be a great toy for the kids.
Right. those two characters, you know, I don't know, the Samoan and the Asian. They were really, I felt you cared about them the most in the film.
You cared about them a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, those two really had the most development and most color.
And he had the funny lines with his, "I'm one with the Force, the Force is with me."
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That looks like he goes off to pull the switch.
Yeah.
Right. No. The one that I laughed at is when, Forrest Whitaker's character, his people come and grab him to take him to him, and they put the hood over his head.
Yeah.
The blind guy. And he goes, "Really? I'm really?" Really? I thought that was good.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. But you're right. Those two got the funny line and the good. The good play. It was two great new characters.
I liked what I liked too is the whole, you know, nobody knew if they could trust each other, right? I love that play on trust, and you had to build that trust as the movie went on.
Right.
And it was the trust that they needed in order to win. I love that more, and it was refreshing because I feel like, you know, the, what are we going to call them? Like the main Star Wars line, the Skywalker line, the main arc. It's all more on destiny, right? You know, like it is your destiny, and it's all led by faith and destiny. Whereas there is no destiny involved in this one. It was just flat out, do you believe in what we're fighting for? We can't let these guys do this.
It was another interesting scene with the rebellion. You know, something you don't get in a New Hope, but you see the certain factions of the rebellion not agreeing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like this was one super united cause. I mean, I guess, you know, everybody was against the Empire, but it wasn't as cut and dry as we're all together and this is it. I mean, those factions had their different ideas, and they didn't. You know, look, they didn't want to go steal the plans. It was the group going rogue.
Yeah, I love that.
To go steal the plans.
Who is this? Rogue One? that's how they got the name of the movie.
Right. Look, obviously the first movie, when George Lucas first made it, we've all heard this if you're even a little bit of a Star Wars fan. You know, he didn't know that there'd be a second one.
Mm-hmm.
He had an hour and a half to get, you know, to deliver this movie. He didn't know that it was going to be this incredibly stupid fucking franchise that is 40 years old now. You know, Star Wars literally turns 40 years old in a couple of months. You know,
ooh, that's wild.
You know,
so go ahead, but finish that. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're saying no. So I mean, so that's what these movies give us, these one shots, and then now that Disney has it, and look, I don't blame George Lucas. I mean, when he owned Lucasfilm, and
he didn't do anything wrong with that. Yeah,
No. But I mean, but for him to make one of these films, I'm gonna say, you know, this is something that it was his world. He was involved in everything. It was a tremendous time consuming for him. Now that Disney has it, they're a corporation. They put the right people in charge, and you know.
But this, him not being involved is the best thing for this movie, though. Too, I feel like, him not controlling it.
I mean, look, this was better than any prequel.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Look, we've talked about it before. I mean, you go back and watch the prequels. Look, yeah, number one is tough. The Phantom Menace. It's tough to watch and rewatch. You know. Because there's really nothing happened. I mean, you're setting the basis for this story. The last one, Revenge of the Sith, it was not horrible.
Revenge of the Sith was the best
of those three, right? I mean,
yeah, right. That's what I've always.
Well, you go 3-2-1, you know,
as growing up and all that, and having watched all the movies and everything. What I liked about this too is it did answer that. I always felt like when they always talked about, so many people died in order to get this plan.
Stop. Because this is my biggest problem, and maybe I missed it, and y'all saw it. I hope so. She says many Bothans died.
No. It's she. I thought the same thing, but then Return of the Jedi was on TV literally. Like an hour before we started podcasting, and I had it on, and that's when she said many Bothans died to get us the information, and that was about them going to find
the second
Death Star and getting the info to know that the forest moon of Endor had the shield. That was when the Bothans died.
Well,
initially I thought the same thing as you did, but then I just happened to catch it.
Okay. Well, either way, the point I'm making is I've always wanted. It's one of those, like you said, it's a side story, but it was always like, what about the story of how they got the plant? Like, how did they know? And then what was the whole thing everybody always used to kind of make fun of Star Wars was like, really, you're going to build a big old fucking Death Star and all you got to do is shoot this little thing and it blows up. How stupid is that? Oh, it was intentional. God, that was awesome. When he explained that in the message, I was like, that's when the movie was the biggest payoff. It was like, holy shit.
But didn't you realize, I mean, yeah, from the trailers, I put all that together.
Well, I knew...
You know, because obviously we all watched the trailer.
No, I didn't watch. I guess I didn't watch. I've only watched like the first trailer and the third trailer. And
this is all
science officer would embed a trap because he was working. You know, the whole story of it, why he did it.
Right. Well, look, this is all I knew going into this movie. And that's why there was so many great things that I enjoyed. But all I knew the little girl was the guy who designed it.
Daughter,
he was the main character, and I knew he was doing it against his will.
I figured that he would embed a weakness.
I mean, that's, but anyway, but it was, but you are right, Jeff. When he was in that hologram, it was awesome to hear, you know, that made you go, it did fill in, like you said, a very big flaw in the whole first move.
I mean, it basically squashed, like, you know, at least 50,000 blogs.
Right.
15 years,
right.
You know.
But now what doesn't make sense? So in the first one, they put that little bitty, he put that little bitty hole
right, the
to
ear
blow
hole.
It up.
From Snake
right,
Balls.
Right. But then the second one, you can fly the fucking Millennium Falcon through it. What the fuck? I mean,
well, it's a
well,
huge
it was,
planet
it
size.
Was still under construction.
It's planet sized. Come on. But all right. So Governor Tarkin.
That awesome. Oh, I shit when I saw.
Is
Governor
it the same Tarkin. Actor?
No, he's dead.
He's been dead for 30 years. So I would assume not.
I didn't. Know. Amazing that they got him. He looked just like him.
Well, the CGI didn't throw y'all off.
Not at all.
Wait, he was CGI?
The mouth toward the end did, but his first scene, no. His first scene I felt was flawed.
Well, I was looking at it, I'm like, damn, that's a good makeup job.
You know, now it maybe
a little, right, it looked a little, makeup was heavy painted, so maybe that was the CGI, but no, I didn't know that was CGI.
Wow. It threw me off
maybe
a little
bit.
Maybe
your screen quality was a little too good.
I was in the fucking Dolby Theater. How's that even possible?
That's what I'm saying. Like, sometimes
it was
that
too good, right? Maybe
extra
so, right.
definition is not good.
Maybe.
Right. Yeah. But no, Peter Cushing, the gentleman who played Grand Moff Tarkin, he died in 1994.
Okay. So, well, loved that.
Dude, it was awesome. I thought they did a fantastic job. The best job I've ever seen with that.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, fool
like,
me.
Remember, they did it in Avengers last year.
With Robert Downey.
Ultron,
with Ultron,
or Young. Civil War. Right, whatever one it was.
They did it with Tron Legacy with
with Jeff Bridges.
I saw that recently.
Jeff Fisher.
Yeah.
Jeff Bridges, right?
And it was kind of bad.
And then they did it. Remember at the end, we're speaking of Revenge of the Sith. They had him walk up, Tarkin walk up to
the Emperor
Vader, and that looked horrible. I mean, I think they did that with even a different actor.
Yeah,
okay. Well, I don't know, but that was like 12.
It was great seeing that.
But this one was awesome. I loved it when I saw fucking Tarkin. I mean, it was just like, wow.
Yeah,
he was a ruthless old leader. I mean, they did a good job with his lines, and he even got to say, "You may fire when ready." He got to say that again.
Well, and again, still not knowing that it was as close to A New Hope in time,
right.
It was, because I'm sitting here thinking, you know, oh, I love seeing all these backs this way, you know, oh, this was happening so much longer before, and nope, that was yesterday.
Right.
And then, so do we go into Vader yet, or in his appearance?
Well, I'm sure y'all caught too, when they had the space battle at the end, you know, you still had the Rebel pilots and the leaders of each squadron, and you had the old guys from the first movie. They brought them back. They had a couple shots. Yep. What, red leader, gold leader, the same.
Yeah.
Was Porkins there?
I didn't see Porkins.
I didn't see Porkins. I kept looking to.
Me too.
For Porkins.
I don't know if I missed him.
Didn't see Porkins.
Porkins. Fat guy named him Porkins. You just did shit differently in the 70s, you know? And George Lucas is just a racist. I mean, we all know that. You know, he just is. I mean, you know.
Well.
I'm sorry. I've heard people try to deny this, but and the Phantom Menace, you know, the Trade Federation. They're Asian, okay? They have little slanty eyes and they speak funny. I mean, they're Asian, okay? Yeah, I mean, you know, he plays on stereotypes.
Right. It doesn't make him racist.
No. He plays on stereotypes. Yeah.
So, all right. So then let's get to the first time you see Anakin / Vader. Whoa. With the two Imperial guards guarding the tank.
Right. The back to tank, right.
And
see, that was interesting because I didn't know anything about that. I didn't know what kind of treatment Vader had to get to stay alive. You know, I didn't read any fan fiction or know anything about what the fuck a Bacta tank?
The same thing that Luke said. Every fucking Star Wars movie has one in it. They put an injured person in it.
Oh, same thing? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like an antiseptic. Something.
He had the bends. So the question is: does Vader? Are we to believe then that Vader? He's in that when he's not in his suit. Like he basically gets in his suit, does his thing, then comes back and like goes to bed, kind of thing, like a vampire in his coffin. Or
is that where
he sleeps?
Earlier, I mentioned about the Legends, books. I've been reading those books. Not all of them. There was a lot of them. But since, you know, they started coming out in 92, 93. So, yeah, I mean, obviously Vader's in the suit. He can't take the suit off or he dies. We all remember how he was at Revenge of the Sith. And he, he has to be in his little sealed thing. Or, yeah, he'll die. And that just helps him because he's in a lot of pain. He's hurting. He's always in constant pain. And so that is a treatment.
Mm-hmm.
But
Well,
again, it's a treatment, not something that's
All his limbs were burned off by heal, lava right. and lightsabers.
Well, kind of, right, right, you know. But that was awesome. And again, I think, you know, tell me if y'all, you know, where he's at, that's his, you know, Fortress of Solitude. That's right, his castle.
Right, right.
You know, and that's, and I think that's even from, like, I think A Splinter of the Mind's Eye, which was the very first book ever written about Star Wars that wasn't, you know, one of the movies, a movie adaptation. Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry, it was awesome when you saw Vader. And then they tell him, you know, what's the name of the that Imperial in the white? I mean, I don't. Y'all know?
Oh, the guy general. In
the,
white cape?
The one with aspirations?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he was getting pissed.
I don't remember his name, but I loved seeing that side. Like, it's like corporate, you know.
Oh, yeah. Right.
It's an evil. Right. It's a corporation, but the guys are fighting over power and control. It's like, hey, buddy, can you put me in charge of this Death Star thing?
Right. I built this fucking Death Star, man.
Right. I want to fly it. Let me shoot it. But he wanted to shoot an entire planet right out the gate, and Tarkin was like, no, we're going to be strategic with this.
I mean, and I
didn't know at first. I when I first heard Vader use the line, I loved seeing the way the choking happened and all that.
Right.
And when he first said, "Don't choke on your aspirin," I was like, "Really? That we're gonna give Darth Vader a cheesy line like that?" But then after it marinates a few days, I'm like, "That was the best line in the movie." Don't choke on your aspirations.
Right. Well, it's so hard. I mean. Or you forget, I don't know, you know, you forget that it is still Anakin in there. You know, it's still, he's just a man, you know. And
yeah.
Anakin and Obi-Wan used to joke. I mean, you know, I don't think Vader joked with the Emperor, you know, but... not a lot of
they
joking.
They don't seem like the buddy duo.
Right, not a lot of joking going on in the Empire, you know, not a, yeah. on the Sith side, you know.
Now, did they get the same guy to walk in this Vader suit as they did in the originals?
No. It's a couple of new guys they had in there. There was actually an article about it the other day.
Right. He's 6'8". Mm-hmm. And so is David Prowse. The original Vader, the Vader that we all know from the three originals, you know, that walk, you have never seen and or heard him in the Star Wars movies. Without that Vader mask, you know. So remember, James Earl Jones did the voice, and he did it this time. And then when they took the mask off in the Return of the Jedi, it was somebody else, not the guy who plays Vader, David Prowse. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, it was like an older dude. Yeah,
right. But dude, when I saw, I mean, that's what I've been waiting for. I know we saw Vader, but at the end of, you know.
And the guy that, I'm sorry to say, but the guy that, what's his name? Forrest Whitaker, was it played?
Yeah.
He, right. in a sense, was the same treatment as Vader. I mean, he had a breathing machine.
Right.
And he had a lot of, you know, what do you call them, prosthetics and stuff. And,
right.
I mean, he, in a sense, was the same setup as Vader. And I like that.
I did think the same thing.
Especially when he took it out to breathe, and it was the same sound. Right.
Correct. Now, after you saw Vader, the Vader scene, okay, and he goes...
Which, I loved all the different camera angles they were giving you.
Right, well, they wanted to...
Just real, right, good cinematography, it was like, this is...
Fire. Right, right, really seeing Vader. Did y'all think that was it, no more, okay? That
For a was while, I was like, that was it? I want more.
No, I mean, even before... You know, I mean, I know you guys texted. Obviously, I knew he was there, but you knew he was going to have some big scene in this movie.
But I thought that was it because I didn't think they wanted this to be about Vader. So I was lulled into and accepting of it too. I was like, okay, you know what? I want more, but that was sufficient because to what we texted earlier today was talking about, like, you don't want to overuse Vader because I think the more you use him, the less.
Right, like the movie still needs to stand on its own, and the more he's in there, you feel like it kind of veered
the Vader
towards
movie, right?
Right,
right.
But so, I mean, definitely the movie watch, yes.
Yeah, it was interesting how they used how we saw you know, the effects of the Death Star. Now, clearly in the first movie, you could see, well, shit, it can destroy a planet. You know, it means business. But when they destroy the cities and you see it from up close, it just has a different different effect compared to, a planet blows up. You don't see anybody screaming or dying. Whereas when you see the city being destroyed, you see the people panicking and all that kind of stuff.
And I love the shit going all the way up to space. Like, that's how it pulled, you know, that...
Like a nuclear explosion, right?
But I mean, it broke the atmosphere and everything.
Right. Well, obviously, technology has improved much since 1977.
Has it? A little bit.
Has it?
You know, a little bit. You know, they can do so much more, and that was a great,
fantastic. And I love that they did it more than once in the movie.
Right.
It's like you got two shots of it. Because that was the other thing. You know, you watched New Hope. It's like, man, they spent all this time to build a Death Star and they only got to use it once.
Right.
They got to blow up one stinking planet.
Right.
Right. So we do know the Death Star has, you know, shot three times.
Yeah.
Pump, pump, pump.
Death Star got all three times. So, all right. So let's get to the end there then where... They get to the planet. Let me just throw this out there. Did anybody else get from this movie as a whole? I got a World War II feel.
Yes.
I got World War II movie.
Especially toward the end.
Yes, World War II. I mean, surely the whole Empire, that's like the Nazi.
George Lucas has said that, right. Yes, they're based on the Nazi. Their uniforms. So, are very, you know.
Yeah, the hats and the way that they stormed, all that. But I definitely got like a good World War II movie feel from it. And I also got a good Vietnam movie from it.
Yeah, well,
they're on the ground. Like where the palm trees and the jungle and the...
When they set off a bunch of the team, like, you know, the main crew went to the facility and the rest of the crew went through the jungle.
Yeah. Like, even though it's a Space Wars movie, I got two classic good movie genre tropes that I felt paid off. I felt Nam, I felt World War II,
right.
I felt Star Wars. But they even had that scene,
one thing, you know.
But they had that scene, you know, the classic Nam movie scene where you're inside the helicopter looking where they're flying and it's, you know, the gun is just shooting from the helicopter the palm trees.
Yeah.
They had a scene like that, but it was with a pew 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 pew.
Right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was like, holy shit, they just went there.
Right. I enjoyed, I'll say one thing because I'm doing it. Again, I go back to the books, the legend books. I'm reading one right now about Obi-Wan. And anyway, it's about him. It literally picks up right after whatever the fuck leaves off or Revenge of the Sith. Or Return of the Sith, whatever the fuck it is. And he's dropping Luke off at Owen Lars, you know.
Cowboys beat the Bucks. Cowboys beat the Bucks.
Yeah, I saw that. Okay. But again, all this is basically the writer who wrote the book. It's a Western. Mm-hmm. You know, that's all it is. It's
space
classic.
Yeah.
Right. It's a Western. Well, they're on Tatooine the whole time. He doesn't leave, you know, because once he dropped Luke off, he doesn't leave. And it's just, you know, he's the man with no name, you know, all those classic.
Yeah.
You know? And it's very cool, very interesting. But again, it's just set in the Star Wars universe. But it's the same basic principle. But anyway, I mean, so, and you're right, they did it here. And I love seeing them fight on, or in Star Wars, every planet is just one location. They don't have any, you know.
Yeah.
You're either a desert planet, a snow planet, a green planet, the fourth planet, you know, and now we're an ocean planet, you know. But I loved, I love seeing them fight in the blue water. I thought that, you know, in the palm trees. Yeah, because yeah, we hadn't seen
refreshing.
That in the show.
Yeah, that was awesome. The Citadel, the whole idea about having to transmit the way that it, and I love that the servers were, I mean, it's, you know, CD, right. You know, it's like, you know, like a hard drive.
It was almost like, yeah, like a hard drive they pulled out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it is. I mean, again, the timing of it, you know, it should be for when it was.
And then the
trapping of, because, again, going through the whole movie, I was expecting some of the some people to live.
I
love that they all die. Every last one of them died, and right, of course they had to.
Right, because we've never heard of them. Because we haven't heard of them. Right. So they have to be. I mean, I knew that going in. I mean, at least I felt. I felt that way.
When you're on the ride, you forget that, and you're like, okay, that one's dead, but clearly this guy's gonna live on and become a great character in the next movie. No, he's not. All
right. Right, and I guess you could have said one or two of them, you know, they just went on to become regular old rebel, soldiers, whatever, and we didn't follow them, you know, but I kind of felt they were going to die. I kind of thought they felt they had to die.
I am glad that they went through and did kill them all and didn't leave one or two alive. Just that's kind of like the cop-out.
They didn't pull a Walking Dead.
Right. Like, everybody had to die, and they killed them all.
Right, well, I didn't like the part, this plot point, and but they had to do it so they could kill everybody. The planet had a shield on it.
Right.
I don't get it. I mean, we've never seen this before.
A shield protecting a planet?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but they're protecting the
Citadel. The Death Star.
The Citadel. Should be the most secure. I mean, that's the server for the internet of the Empire.
Right. Okay, I guess you did have the shield protecting the Death Star.
Yeah,
on Endor.
On Endor.
Okay.
I like the way that it was like an opening, and you can,
It was. I don't know. Anyway.
No, sir. I didn't like it.
Well, that's all right.
Right, but it was nice, and so
it was a good way to trap them on the planet and stop everybody from being able to help them. But you got a few X-wings in there beforehand, and they kicked ass.
Before what?
Before they shut the shield, closed the shield.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. I thought you said hand.
Which was that was a cool move they showed when the little ship ran into the Star Destroyer and knocked it into the other one, and they crashed.
Yeah. That was all. I remember when I was watching that and he was doing it, I leaned over to my kids and I'm like, holy shit, they're pushing the whole Star Destroyer. I mean, I was excited. I will say quickly, too, in the theater, I mean, it was a packed house when I went, and I'm so glad that they had reserved a row where we wanted to sit, but it was reserved for a birthday party of like 9 and 10 year old, 11 year old kids or whatever.
Right.
And so we went into there and it was full of basically, nerds, 30, 40 year old nerds. And then you also had like rows and rows of kids.
And the kids were
everybody was so excited. It was like everybody was like laughing and having it. I mean, it was a fun way to watch the movie. And at the end, of course, it got an applause. Everybody was like, yeah, clapping for the movie, especially. And then when they had the big reveal, the really big reveal at the end, everybody in the theater, you could hear the gasp.
But that had to be more for the 30-year-old, 40-year-old nerds like yourself.
Oh, 100%.
Than for the kids.
Sure. Absolutely.
They don't, they might know who Darth Vader is, but to us.
Well, but my kids have seen Star Wars now.
Well, I know they've seen it, but they didn't live through it.
That's true. And they didn't wait 30 years for it. Yeah.
Right. Darth Vader, and he's a pop icon.
One of the greatest cinema villains in history.
It's one of the greatest cinema characters, in history. So when they, are we going to, can we just talk about it? Because this is the...
Well, okay, you want to finish, the end, because it was the end of the movie, and then and then the Vader scene.
Right. Well,
or was it, oh, no, I take that back.
Well, they transmit, they got the disc out.
You're right.
Right. So they get the, we see how fight. They, yeah. Right, we'll go from where Jeff left off, right, they push in, they push the Star Destroyers into the planet, it lowers the shield so they can transmit
the data.
Information, right. Then they hit the planet with the Death Star.
The blueprints.
And kill, right. And kill all of our heroes on the planet. They nobly sacrifice themselves for the greater good. We go back to the Death Star. And Tarkin says something. He goes, Vader will handle...
Yeah, somebody asked him about, what are you going to do about the... About the rest of the fleet, and he's like, don't worry, Vader's taking care of it.
And that's when Vader's ship arrives in the middle. And didn't they have some ships that were trying to zoom away ended up crashing into it when it arrived as well? Did I see that right? It's like some the rebels were jetting out. They were getting the hell out of Dodge. Right. And Vader arrives on scene from warp speed, and it's almost like when he arrives and appears, one of them takes off and poof, hits the Death Star because it's like, oh, you, I mean, and
I think you, yeah, that does.
Thought I saw that, and I hope I did see that because that's fucking awesome. That's attention to detail.
So anyway, then we get right. So now the rebels are frantically trying to get this blueprints to to the Rebel Alliance. I'm surprised,
your work hands are passing it. Right. Take it. Go.
Right.
Get it out. Here he comes.
And
then just comes down the hall.
Well, you're in that hallway. It's dark. You don't see him. You hear him breathe. And then then he lights his fucking lightsaber and he's just aglow in that red. Mm-hmm. And this is the Darth Vader that we have always wanted to see.
Oh, yeah.
Him being Darth fucking Vader.
He's and slayed.
Slaughter. Right.
I mean, just sabering, forcing, throwing them up and down all over. Right. I mean, just just cleaning and just walking casually down.
Right.
He's like.
Right.
Don't get caught. You don't have to be the fastest guy, but you don't want to be the slowest.
Right. And that's when I came in my pants. Okay. That's when I shot my fucking load right there. Vader, picking, like you said, using the force to throw guys up, pick one, stuck one against the wall, and as he walked by, he just stuck him,
Right.
nonchalantly just stuck him with the lightsaber. Yep. The other people, like you said, there's shit, there's, I don't know, over a dozen of them in there, and they're. Right, when just they
trying to pass
come up,
it, yep.
Right, they're hitting themselves. They know they're going to die. They know they're not going to. That scene. I'm going to I think Jason said it, or I'm going to put that scene on a loop and watch it all the time. I mean, that's what I'm going to watch. That I'm going to watch it at least for a couple hours.
And that's get that. One that's how scene. I want the Saints to march through next season.
Right, and that's why I say I want a Vader movie. They can do it. So the rebels, just happen to get the plans out through
the doorway,
stuck doorway.
And as the guy sticks it through the doorway, they show the camera angle from the other side, and Vader comes up from behind him and just stabs him through.
Yeah,
and it goes through the door.
That was awesome.
Right, he stabbed the guy, and it goes through the blast. I don't know if the blast door or not, but go through the blast door. They run it
into the room, and you see the reveal of who they hand it to.
Right.
Young Princess Leia.
A 19-year-old Princess Leia, because that's how old for Carrie Fisher was in the movie.
And that was CGI then, right?
Yeah.
Fooled me. I'm like, how did they do that? Like, did they just use old footage, or did they put makeup on her?
See, I didn't think hers was as good as Tarkin's.
It was it wasn't perfect, but it was good enough to where
And definitely did not expect to see Princess Leia, especially 19-year-old Princess Leia.
Even when, what's his name said, when he said, my friend from the Clone Wars, remember earlier when they said it was the Jimmy Smith's guy, I thought?
Yeah,
she'll come through. She'll come through or something.
Right. Well, but he said
something like, I would trust her with my life.
Yeah.
Right.
And I at that point, I'm like, well, surely he's talking about Leia.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
But again, I'm still not thinking it was literally going to be like that movie ends and then A New Hope begins and it's the exact same scene.
Right. But that caught me too.
Exactly. That. I did not know going in that, literally.
That was the gasp for the 30-year-old people, the 30-year-old fans. Right. That was the holy shit. Not just it's Leia, but holy shit. That's now. Happened.
Right. Well, that's why the Empire and Vader were firing on a senatorial ship,
Yep.
Because they were just chasing them out of a war zone.
Yep.
And I'm like, I'm sure y'all too. I did not realize, it ends, that movie ends, hours before the next one stops?
Yeah, because they went to hyperspace, and I'm sure Vader's crew follows them, and eventually they catch up with them, and that's where the movie starts.
Right. I mean, I didn't see that ending. That was awesome.
Yeah.
And you talk about Jimmy Smith. I love that they had him back in here as Bail Organa. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, because, I mean, that obviously we had a lot of cues from the 4, 5, and 6. Again, with, you know, Buttface and Walrus Man and the Stormtroopers and all that. So, and this, and Jimmy Smith was bringing in the prequels, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because there wasn't anybody else from any kind of prequel.
No, all right, from the prequel, nobody else. Nobody else.
Right.
You know? So, but also that's what, and again, I don't read the book, so I might be a little, you know, hyped up. But again, you can do an Obi-Wan movie because you have Ewan McGregor, who's now about the right age, you know. He's 45. He can play an older, you know.
Yeah. Depending on what the hell he did on Tatooine for all those years. Did he just hang out and do nothing, or did he actually still do some small things here and there?
Would
there be enough of a story to tell with him? What kind of story would they give him, though?
The Western.
Well, again,
supposedly, look, he went there and he was a hermit, and that's why he was old and weak and A New Hope, because he hadn't been using his powers at all. So can you really tell a story with that?
But you've got like 30 years between
Anakin
and then.
Right. You make him what they're doing. You make him, obviously, the reluctant hero. And again, I'm going to tell you what they're doing in the book. You're right. He's there to watch over Anakin. Luke. And so, right, he wants to just live by himself, not fuck with nobody.
Make sure nobody fucks with Luke.
Right. That's all he's, you know. And so, right, you make him the reluctant hero because obviously, you know, he needs parts and water and he has to see people and you know. So, yeah, of course you could, you know. Again, they wrote the book about
it. But here's the thing. I mean, if you're going to do the one-offs, like the way you're going to do the whole universe, do you stay living in the past and building all that? Or do you start to build one-offs with where Force Awakens in the direction that goes?
Well, you can do both. When the new movies are finished and established, you can bring in some side.
Because
it would make sense.
But you see what I mean? Because like the Avengers and Marvel, they're doing it. It's all happening at the same time. Where here, we've got the main arc is, you know, 30 years ahead of the side stories that we're getting.
You tell the side stories because these have, with the old characters now, because they've been around, people know the main characters. Right. You see, you can do the side story because you know what it's about. You can't do a side story on fucking.
Well, hold on. Now, we'll get to what you just said. I agree with where you're going with that. But obviously, this movie here, I mean, the main characters, again, besides Vader, and then you had Tarkin, you know, you had cameos by Tarkin and Princess Leia and Vader. But the whole movie was about characters that we did not know from the original sequel, you know, from the original.
Mm-hmm.
Trilogy, right?
Yeah, you know? And that's what I'm saying.
So, you're right. I get, but it's about.
But you're gonna get the solo backstory. But the story is for Jason.
Why are we talking over each other?
Can I finish? Hello, can I finish? Please, can I finish? Okay, I'm finished.
Even though they weren't the main characters were not people we knew, the story is familiar to us.
Right.
We know where they are. We know what the stakes are.
Yeah. You
know, even though the characters are.
And we know what the sequel's going to be.
Right. Definitely.
That's going to wrap it up for Star Wars. We're
obviously excited. We all enjoyed the movie. Go out and see. If you're still listening to us, you've
already
seen it. go see it again.
Sorry for
spoiling. Spoiler alert.
Princess Leia's at the end. It's Leia.
Yeah.
Vader kicks ass. All right, well, thanks for joining us. Did we do the outro again?
No.
Bye-bye, Bothan.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
You were going to say Star Wars Nation?
Yeah.
Good night, Jedi Nation.